Hello everyone, I'm Suruchi, and continuing with our discussion on managing project teams and resources, let's move to the module on human resource planning, which is a very, very key aspect of this whole discussion. So first of all, developing human resource plan is a process of identifying and documenting the roles, responsibility and relationships of the project team members for completing the project, and this is one of the main responsibilities that a project manager needs to execute, which determines the project success. So when I have a team of 20 people working on a software development and I pull in these 20 people, I have to decide who is going to be the senior project developer on this, who is going to be doing the admin work, who is going to be doing the communications work, who is going to be actually doing the physical running around and some of the things. And these roles and responsibilities have to be specified by the project manager. Otherwise, not only is there going to be an interference in the seamless working, because all 20 people can't be generalists doing all 20 things, but it is also going to lead to a lot of conflict between the team members in terms of, that is your responsibility, it is not my responsibility, you were supposed to do this, I am not supposed to do this. So if this is already pre-specified, documented and identified by the team manager, then it leads to a lot of understanding in terms of team members whose responsibility is what. For example, when 20 of us were pooled in as part of an MNC bank to work on a 45-day project to mobilize funds from the NRIs. It was clearly, a mail was sent out by the team managers to all the 20 people and the sponsors and the bosses in the organization about what the various roles of these 20 people would be, which countries would they take care of, in those countries who will be taking care of what. If that had not been sent out, it is possible that it would have led to higher conflict. But this was identified and documented and specified and laid out by the team manager, based, of course, on the individual team member's strengths and qualities and capabilities. So once the project managers set their schedules for the deadlines and deliverables, tight time schedules and project budget must be laid out. They must select and manage a team of experienced and qualified and competent professionals, and they have to manage the processes selecting and developing the managing of this team. So why are we talking about time schedules and deadlines? So yes, there is an eventual final deadline of delivery of the closing and culmination of this project, but there are also various phases in the closure and the successful outcome. So there have to be short-term deadlines within that final deadline of these various phases. There have to be time schedules in terms of reporting back on a daily basis or a weekly basis or an alternate day basis or a fortnightly basis in terms of the status reports of where each person is with his individual responsibilities and deliverables and budgets. So for example, if the 20 people were sent to the 20 countries and one of them keeps sending requirements of, I need additional funds for this work and for this meeting and for this transport and for this hotel stay, that won't work. There is a pool. Everyone is going to be getting budgetary allocations out of that pool. So you cannot have a dynamic budget which could throw your profitability and working and the costing of your project completely out of hand. So these budgets also have to be managed and specified. And then you have to keep developing this team. You have to see, I have assigned and allocated these teams to various roles, but is there a need for improving a certain skill in them? For example, when you're going to mobilize money from NRIs, there will be negotiations which will involve. So if there is a very capable salesperson who can go out, reach out in a certain country, but maybe the salesperson needs to know a little bit more about bargaining and negotiation, getting the best possible from the customer. So without giving away too much profitability or without increasing the cost too much, then maybe before sending this person off to that country or before sending the entire team off to the various locations, I should put them through a training on negotiation skills, or I should send them in joint meetings with other senior people who are very good at negotiation to bring them up the curve. Is there someone who is managing the technical aspect or the operational aspect of this project? does that person need to know a little bit more about the systems and regulations, since there are various countries involved? Do these people need to know a little bit more about regulations so that no rule is even accidentally or mistakenly broken, no guideline is accidentally or mistakenly overstepped? Then I need to maybe put them through a one-day full course or a two-day full course in terms of bringing them up the curve in terms of what are the do's and don'ts, what are the regulatory aspects which need to be kept in mind, what are the RBI guidelines, etc., so that this 45-day project does not lead to any business which is coming unethically or which is coming because of any rule being broken. So these development and training aspects also have to be kept in mind, given that the skill is already there, but certain aspects may need to be developed in the staff. And staffing plan details how and when a team member will be acquired, determining if a training need exists, and if it does require, fill the gap, recognition, rewards and safety. So you are pulling in these 20 people. Yes, you are identifying their skills, you are training them, but you also have to give them a clear sweetener. You're taking them away from their regular business operations, which they would be doing for 45 days. They will not be delivering on that. So you have to also give them an incentive and sweetener to work very, very hard for these 45 days on something different from their regular requirements in terms of what are the records, rewards and recognition should they deliver positively and successfully on these. That is very important and can lead to a high or a low level of satisfaction depending on whether you manage that well or not. And it also includes compliance considerations, time and duration of acquirement of resources on the project. Now, repeatedly I'm talking about compliance and regulation because it's important that these aspects be kept in mind whenever there is any project in place. So if I'm doing a software development project also, I have to keep in mind the things that I'm developing, systems I'm using, modes I'm using, cross-country issues which are coming into place. My team is aware of these. People I'm hiring are authorized to work on those, have licenses to work on those software development projects, have licenses to work in those countries, have the permission to work on projects being outsourced. So all these various compliance requirements also need to come into place. I need to see, do these people have the appropriate degrees, which are a minimum requirement for them to be working on these projects. It becomes very important to not lose sight of this just because someone is very capable but not compliant, I cannot recruit those people. So a human resource plan then is divided broadly into three stages. You acquire a team, you decide how many people you need over what period of time, you acquire them, means performing activities like project staff assignment, managing resource calendar, updating project plans accordingly. So the acquisition part is your first stage. Then you develop the team. Developing would be building the team, interactive team activities so that you go from the storming to the norming stage, rapport building between them, smoothening of the rapport between them, resolution of the conflict between them, training and developing activities wherever you feel communication skills for all 20 members need to be improved. Recently, I was working with a team for a infrastructure and design firm where they had recently taken on some international clients, and 20 people from various departments had been pooled in to service this international client for whom a very big theme park project was being put up in Mumbai. Now the organization head and the CEO felt that all these 20 people needed to brush up their communication skills, and also these 20 people had not worked together in the past, so there needed to be some element of easier and smoother communication between them. So we put them through a communications training where their ability to communicate with the customer, with the international client internally, with the CEO and the other senior management went up, and also their ability to seamlessly communicate with each other without egos coming into play, with resolving conflict, etc., also went up. So that was an important part of the senior management and the project manager for that project developing and harnessing his team. Then you have managing a team, which involves tracking team members, providing feedback, resolving issues without micromanaging. Again, I will create a distinction between micromanaging or standing on someone's head all the time and saying, report to me on this, has this happened or not, 5 times reminding them in a day, 10 times asking them to report to you in a day. No, but you have to keep monitoring in terms of, is the progress moving at a pace and a stage that you are comfortable with it moving? Because if you check on the last day of the project and there was an issue which needed resolution, you're not going to have time to resolve it on the last day. You should have been monitoring it in advance. Is there a team member who needs to be replaced? Is there a team member who needs additional resources, who needs feedback? All of this needs to be done in the various stages which will happen through the monitoring process. Before we move further with planning process, we need to understand and plan the different procedures that can be adopted by the performing organization. So there is no single formula in terms of how a team will be managed. There are various powers that a project manager has and different leadership styles. Different human beings are different, so there will be different leadership styles. So we can pick whatever is best suited to the project or to the project manager personality type and work based on that. So there are individuals are different and organizations are different. So there is no formula. We will see the various structures which can be there. And there can be various ways in which tasks can be allocated, coordination can be done so that eventual project objectives are achieved. So moving on again, let's look at the large software development companies. These are usually organized into departments. Okay, as I mentioned earlier, you could have a software company in which one department is servicing the banking and financial services industry, one department is servicing the oil and gas industry, one department is servicing your online shopping platforms. So the various departments could be based on BFSI, oil and gas, online platforms. So then everyone start to finish working in this segment will be part of this one department. So these could be based on different criteria such as staff specialization, product lines, categories of customers or geographic locations. So the example I gave you right now is categories of customers. But it could very well be based on the staff specialization involved, based on this segment services the Asia Pacific region, this department services the America region. Recently we were training for an investment bank which had a clear demarcation. This segment services South Africa, this segment services Europe, this department services Asia Pacific region, this department services Indian subcontinent. So there were various departments based on geographical location. So you could have various kinds of segregations. Now you could have functions depending on two key demarcations. So you could have organizations broken up into two ways. There is the department structure, which I just listed out to you, and I'll go into further detail. And then within the department, you could also have a team structure which is focused more towards the project, the immediate project at hand. So in a department structure, it can be broadly defined into functional, project or management formats. So there are three kinds, primary kinds of department structures which could be used: functional, project and matrix. Now let's look at all three individually. In a functional format, developers are divided into functional groups based on specialization or experience. Someone has worked on this kind of operating system for the BFSI segment. He will be in that functional format. Functional groups can be divided based on networking, testing, design. So someone has worked on this kind of project in the past. Someone has worked extensively on the oil healthcare system in the past, on the healthcare industry, and within the healthcare industry also into this kind of design in the past. Then he would be categorized on that functional segment and be part of the functional group. So look at this small diagram where you have project 1 and a project N, where they are being divided based on, this group has worked well on testing, this group has worked well on design. There may be another group which may have worked better on networking. So on the absolute specific functionality, broken down to the absolute functionality of what this team of people has worked on. So you could have another project team which is working only on coding. This makes it easier to understand in terms of what do we mean by the functional aspect, functional structure. Then you have the project format, and this is where department structure is designed for task-oriented teams. So resources are assigned to the project and they are expected to perform all the activities required to meet the project objectives. So when you are assigning to a project team, you have to keep in mind, for example, when that task force or project team was created to service the NRI investors over the next 45 days for a specific mandate for the MNC bank, you had to keep in mind that you have pulled these people in for this specific task. They may have different specializations, so it's different from the functional format, but they have a dual sense of reporting. They have their bosses and their team heads in their regular functions and roles and responsibilities, and then they also have a project or a team manager in this current task force. So care has to be taken that there are different functional groups and you have a dual reporting which is there, and once the project is over, these resources will go back to their respective functional groups. So after the 45 days were over, the entire task force went back to the regular functions and forgot about this thing which was done, closed, existing on the books of the bank, but they went back to their regular project managers, and the project manager for that specific NRI investment was no longer their reporting project manager. So if we have to compare functional versus project formats, there is ease of staffing in functional structure. It provides an efficient solution as any number of resources can be brought into work on the project. So there was a bank of 200 people. It was estimated 20 people of a certain amount of experience and capability would be required, and they were conveniently brought in to service this. Now tomorrow, if it was decided 1 week down the line that looks like we need more resources, a certain country needs more resources, it would have been easy enough from the pool of the remaining 120 to pull in maybe another 10 people into this task force. So it is easy. And they return to the group once the work is done. You don't know what to do. You're not at a loss in terms of what to do with them post the project completion. They have a very clear understanding that this is this task force, this is the objective of this project, and at the end of this project, we are going to go back to our regular day-to-day business affairs. In case of project team format, the manager has less choice but to work with a fixed number of resources. That is clearly a distinction here. And these resources work for the entire duration of the project, and many resources idling in the initial stage of the project. An entire team comes under pressure during the later stages of the project. So you have to keep in mind that a lot of times there will be some resources who have been identified and allocated, and they're not really doing anything. And if you realize that you have gone and overstaffed, you can't even send these people back to a regular day-to-day business because they have actually been brought in specifically for this project itself. So it leads to idle work. It could also lead to overwork because you don't have the flexibility of increasing the number of team persons there. And job specialization. Functional team structure helps developer to specialize in particular tasks as networking, database testing, whereas in the project format, you have generalists. You have people who are working on various things. So these 20 people who went to the various locations were not working on any one function itself. They were working on the sales also. They were working on the business development also. They were also working on making sure the documentation was legally there. They were also making sure that the admin in those countries was being run properly. They were also making sure that the operational connect to the center in Mumbai was working properly. So they were not working on any one specialized aspect. They were working on a general aspect of things. And functional format helps effective solution to manpower problems that they are brought in from the pool when required. So they are, you have your specialist and they are brought in from the pool as and when required. They go back to their specialization once the project is over and done with. Also, in terms of individual career planning, one aspect is project completion and your project outcome being achieved. Second thing, which from an individual team person point of view is very important, otherwise it can lead to high manpower turnover, which is always a cost to an organization, is career planning. a functional organization makes it easier for a developer to have a career that is technically oriented. Why? Because he's specializing in that aspect. Now, if you think back to the diagram that we touched on when we saw the functional format, if there is someone specializing in coding, then in a functional team, he is focusing only on coding and becoming an expert in that. He's functioning only on design. He's working only on design. He's part of teams where he's only designing, and he's as a specialist, a design person there, and he's becoming an expert in that. So they become technically oriented people who become experts in their field. Whereas in a project organization, the career is more general. So progression where developers become business analysts and managers, and a lot of technical people may want to be experts rather than generalists because maybe their desire to excel in that area of expertise is more. So you have to weigh in terms of career planning, what is your horizon? Do you want to be a generalist? I would think that a lot of technical people may want to be absolute experts in their area of specialization. Now coming to a third structure, which is a very interesting structure, which is the matrix structure. And actually the matrix structure is a sort of combination of your functional and project format structure. It takes a little bit of both. So it has elements of both the structures. For example, a pool of functional specialists is assigned to different projects. And a member assigned to a project reports to both the manager of his functional group and the manager of the project that he has been assigned to. So when I told you about the MNC NRI investment team, MNC Bank NRI investment team, it was sort of a matrix format. You were reporting on a regular basis to your people, your boss in your regular role and function and department, and you were also reporting to the task manager of this project. So you have a duality. There is a best of both worlds coming in from both. Now, this format is an extension of formal functional format and intended to provide advantages of both functional and project management structures. Now look at this. We are talking about various projects. 1, 2, 3. Functional groups 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there are functional managers and there are project managers. Now do you understand how there is an overlap happening in reporting to the functional manager also? And to the project manager also, and you also have the chance of working on actually multiple projects in this kind of scenario. So a matrix brings in your functional and your project elements both. And in a strong functional matrix, the functional manager has the authority to assign the resource to the project and the project manager has to accept the assigned resources. So when a task manager is formed for a software development project and the various departments send in functions, send in their people, sometimes the task manager has to accept the resources which are allocated to him, and he may not be the only authority deciding on the talent acquisition or team acquisition for the project. Now let's look at some of the disadvantages that a matrix structure may suffer from, even though it is bringing in elements of functional and project formats. But let's look at some of the limitations that it could have. Due to the multiplicity of authorities, conflicts can occur. So if I am sitting in Singapore working on that NRI mobilization, I'm obviously compromising on my regular role as a salesperson in Mumbai. So my sales head sitting in Mumbai, who is my functional boss, not my project boss, may be mad at me. So conflict can come up that you are not delivering on that. Likewise, in a strong functional format, frequent shifting of workers may take place as the functional managers adopt a firefighting mode to tackle the crisis in the different projects. Okay, now this is working very well in Singapore, but we've just realized that the person who was handling Middle East and this other project in Middle East is not delivering. So you please go from here and work on this project there. So there is a lot of juggling which could happen and which can lead to a little bit of confusion and conflict both for the team and the project and also individually for the employee, because you are juggling a lot of hats at the same go. So because of the overlap, there could be conflict out here. And team structures can define the responsibility, communication and reporting structure within the team. And now we'll move into the various kind of team structures which are possible in our typical organizations. And not all project teams in an organization follow the same type of team structure. That is, of course, very, very, clear, because as we've said, there is no formula, there is no brick and mortar. Typically, you will see team structures are democratic, chief program manager, and mixed control team structure. We will go into these in detail, but by and large speaking, a democratic team structure is one where the project team head gives a lot of autonomy and doesn't get involved on a day-to-day basis. So, the team members, a lot of decisions are taken based on team members' discussions, interaction between team members. In a chief programmer team structure, the chief head, the project manager or the chief programmer has a lot of authority, maybe almost a little tough taskmaster and autocratic and dictatorial in terms of my decision being the last word. This can sometimes be a little demotivating, because then the team people don't feel involved and don't feel that they are contributing. And also there is loss of creativity, because most of your decisions and most of your progress and processes are coming out of the team manager's head, and not too much dialogue and involvement is happening as a collective team. And then you have a mixed control team structure, which is a amalgamation of your democratic and your chief programmer team. So by and large, in your democratic team, while there's a lot of discussion, a lot of creativity, sometimes you could have a fact that because of the team manager not taking very specific decisions and leaving the decisions to the team members to come up with through their various discussions, there could be a lot of conflicts which are left unresolved because of this aspects.